Hi, this is the Watersheds at Work podcast brought to you by Tip of the Mint Watershed Council. My name is Corey Elenese, and I'll be your host. For those of you not familiar with the Watershed Council, we are a nonprofit group in northern Michigan dedicated to protecting our pristine waters through education, research, and prevention. For anyone interested in learning more, helping, or donating, please check out our website or give us a call. This is the last episode of our three-part series on septic systems with Caroline, where we will be talking about the septic survey that was conducted on Lake Charlevoix. This will entail what the survey was based on, what all steps were taken to conduct it, and what they were looking for in particular. I hope you enjoy.
And that's why I think the education and communications in all of our work is really important, because we have to make sure that people know that they are responsible for their waters and they also can do the right thing. I think we really always have to provide education on, well, what are the options here? It's not that we're all just gonna move away from lakes or not have any way to treat our waste. It's that we have to do things like maintenance,
right,
and like maybe some inspections every once in a while. Like, there are things out there to make the stuff not so scary. But for a lot of people, if you live in a forest or a field, you don't really have to worry so much about polluting your local lake or river. But if you live 50 feet from Lake Charlevoix or any local river, you are right there. If something fails on your property, it's going to be a bigger issue than if somebody, you know, 10 miles away from the lake,
yeah,
can happen on theirs.
Well, and I'm sure there's just so many people that come from those areas that are however far away from a lake that don't have the information they need.
Yeah, we do have a lot of seasonal people in this area that are coming internationally, and it's hard for me to know what the rules are elsewhere and what the protocols are. All we can really do is try to make sure people know what we want them to do in our area. And the other interesting thing about septic tanks is high water levels. In the past couple of years, the Great Lakes were really high. You know, any lake that was connected to a Great Lake, or even if some of our kettle lakes, so lakes that were formed with glaciers, they would also see a really big swing in water levels where the lake would come up really high. And a lake can actually flood out a septic tank, so that you have lake mixing in with the effluent from the tank in your septic field. And so your tank doesn't have time to operate and do its thing because the lake is right there.
Is it back flushing it? Is that what's happening?
It can back flush it, yep. And if you have a tank that's 50 feet from a lake and the lake comes up where it's reaching another 20 feet towards your tank, now you've only got 30 feet of leeway there. And a couple of years ago, we had somebody from the health department do a presentation, and they actually had photos of what it looks like when a lake is just basically in somebody's house over their septic tank. And
oh,
I mean, they had recommendations for, if you think the lake level is going to rise, you should mark your tank before it even happens. Yeah. Basically get ready in case you can't use your wastewater system anymore. It's crazy, but obviously we don't want that to happen again. So if we're more informed this time, if
right,
it, you know, I'm sure the lake levels will come up again. That's
knowledge to have with climate change and everything. I feel like that's a really good outlook on everything with septic systems and with pollution and lakes.
Yeah.
And now for the Lake Charlevoix Septic System Survey. How did that survey come about?
So the Lake Charlevoix, I guess going back to our conversation about the fact that you can basically do whatever you want with your septic tank, no one's going to tell you differently between the time when it gets installed to when eventually it might fail, and the health department, if they find out, they will make you upgrade it. There's nothing in between. And the question that Lake Charlevoix Association had was, does Lake Charlevoix have a problem with septic tanks, septic tank pollution, and how can we best figure that out? So I kind of feel what the project was really going after was quite a few things, but definitely, can we detect a septic failure, an outright failure, before it even happens by just measuring possible pollution in the water? We've seen some studies like this before, and some of it was done by the Watershed Council. Also, the Watershed Council used to take something called a fluorimeter, which would detect optical brighteners in the water. and they it was on a barge, and they would just basically walk it around a lake, and they'd have to get there really early before the waves and the boats and the wind and stuff. And they were basically just looking for spikes in optical brighteners, which are from laundry detergents. And the Watershed Council used to go out on people's properties and take groundwater samples. We know some other entities that have done samples on lakes about like 50 feet from shore, and they would actually go around the lake at, I think it was like pretty standard intervals, and taking samples and just testing for QPCR, which basically they'd be looking at tracing if there was bacteria in the water, how much and what source did it come from. So humans, animals, things like that. So we kind of knew of some of these old studies. We had a couple lake associations that were asking, hey, you did a study like that for us in the early 2000s or late 90s. Could you come back and do that again? There's one lake association that I know of where they actually got someone gave them part of their estate to do septic tank upgrades. And so they're looking for the best place to spend the lake association's money now, and they want our help. So it's kind of stuff like that. But I think really the overall question for any lake association is, do we have a problem and where is it? And is there a way to measure that, and what can we do about it? What's interesting, I've kind of talked about some of the stuff about getting on private property, knowing where these septic tanks are, where are the problem areas. So there's quite a few issues that you kind of have to solve before you go out and do a survey like this. And we first had to narrow in on our study area. So Lake Charlevoix is a 60-mile shoreline. I think it's 1,700 properties. So that's, I don't know if those are all septic tanks, but
yeah.
I would guess there's over 1,000
tanks.
I mean, that's a lot to try to think about. Even if you had an ordinance or a rule, how would you enforce it on 1,000 systems? And then imagine every lake in the state or the county. It's just crazy to think about. So we narrowed it down, and we chose places where we had found cladophora a few years ago.
Okay.
So that algae that really likes nutrients. We talked to the health department and they basically just gave us some broad highlights on a map of where they thought there may be issues. I don't really know what the criteria was for choosing them, but I'm guessing maybe they've had some complaints in an area. Knowing that there are kind of a variety of things to sample, we wanted to do the most effective way possible and also be really responsible with the funds that we had from the Lake Charlevoix Association. And so we decided to really narrow in on that study area, which I think we narrowed it into like 900 properties, but we really only managed to get to like 400. So we probably sampled close to 25% of the lake, but we were actually out, like physically present out there. And so we started the easiest way possible with a conductivity meter. So just measuring for how much the water can conduct electricity. And so all water has minerals in it, and some more than others. And we know what the background levels of Lake Charlevoix are, because we've been monitoring it for, I think, since the 90s, probably.
Okay.
So we had a lot of data that we could compare to. And so basically our crew went out in a kayak. They would put this probe in the water in front of every property. So we had a map showing us where the property lines were. And then if it was higher than a certain amount, which they knew what that amount was, or if it seemed like it was increasing in magnitude as they were going along a shoreline, like perhaps they were getting closer to pollution, they would then take a water sample. And I don't know how many water samples, maybe like 100 or so, are being analyzed by Central Michigan University for the nutrients that we talked about. So nitrogen, total phosphorus, I believe chloride, maybe some other things. You know, those two things right there, we're attempting to correlate the conductivity with the nutrients, because we know that sticking a probe in the water is currently the easiest thing for us to do. If we can just use that as a proxy for this is a problem or this is not a problem, it's a big cost savings and it becomes a lot easier. Our plan was to go back and do the same monitoring at those properties a couple times during the season, but we didn't get a chance. But I would say that would be a recommendation that I would make. I don't think other studies have done that. I think even the Watershed Council, when we would go out, we would just go around the lake once, which I don't know how much that's taking into factor. How much rain have we had recently? recently, or what is the weather like, the time of year? I mean, those are all questions I have to kind of get rid of some of those variables. So we didn't get to go back multiple times because our plan was to get the nutrient data back and then go back to the worst places that we could find with that nutrient data and sample for bacteria and then find out what kind of bacteria it was. So we did not get a chance to do that. But we did do the same kind of testing at people's houses. So we sent everybody in our study area a letter saying, hey, go online and take the survey. We're going to give you a free septic evaluation if you do this. And then all the members of Lake Trail Bay Association also got an email about it. And so I think we got around 70 people to respond. And so that's where we got our information. Well, based on their responses, we learned we got 77 responses. Okay. We learned how old their septic systems were. We learned when they had last pumped out their tank. We learned what kind of common septic issues they had, how big their tank was. We know what kind of fertilizers are used, how many times people applied them, and then when the residence was occupied. We can always say, oh, we think most people are seasonal, or we think people put fertilizers down, but this is a little bit more fine resolution of information. We could extrapolate it to the rest of the lake and say X percent of residents apply fertilizers. And yeah, maybe at some point we'll be able to reduce that with education or showing people that there are alternatives, stuff like that.
Absolutely. That's really neat to see so much more fine detail. Yeah.
I know. And we could repeat the survey on other lakes. It's already created. We just have to send it to people.
Yeah.
Send to take it.
This is like the poster child. And then, yeah.
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, yeah. And then we can also compare different lakes to each other to be like, well, people in this lake fertilize more than people in that lake. We'll lay off the fertilizer education over there and increase it over here.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so we did the survey and then we went out to people's properties, which is a very interesting thing. So we tried to repeat the surface water sampling that we had done in kayaks. And so we used our conductivity probe, we took water samples, and we did take E. coli at most of the properties, which I think was about 15. And then we also took groundwater samples really close to the shoreline, because for the most part, if something's in the water, we can't really prove that it's from the nearest property, and it could have floated there from the property next door or across the lake. So I feel like without knowing where are things moving on a daily basis, you can't really do too much of an assumption, although that would be another interesting study. So we are trying to link what's happening in the groundwater and subsurface close to the lake on a property, which we're going to assume is happening from that property, to what's happening in the lake. At the moment, we're not sure if it is related because we don't really have all of our nutrient data back, but we are starting to look at what we do have. And so, yeah, we repeated the E. coli sampling, the conductivity and the nutrients on the groundwater. And then we also used something called a Dual-M-1, and it is a soil meter, and it's kind of like a soil sonar where you hover it over the ground, and works very similar to the conductivity meter where it doesn't really tell you if there's a high reading. You have to know what the background level is. And so what we did is we would hover this machine basically over an entire yard, even in places where we knew there wasn't a septic tank, so that we could later hopefully be able to compare an area where there was a septic tank or a septic field versus the rest of the yard. Then maybe we would be able to see if there was like a stream of high values coming between a septic tank and a shoreline. You know, we have all of this information on each property, and it's basically a series of GPS points that are linked to information about the conductivity that was picked up at each point.
It's just one step further to give you that overview of what's happening.
Right. And so we haven't yet looked at that yet either, but the idea with that one is, you know, you have a piece of machinery, again, takes about 30 minutes to walk around somebody's property. You do have to take it back to a computer and look at it, but it could be either a first brush kind of way to look at somebody's property, or maybe it could be a way to rule out some things. Maybe it could trigger a need to do more. So we're kind of looking at that too as an option. in terms of finding out if septic tanks are impacting the water.
That's amazing, just all the steps that you guys took during that survey.
I know, I don't know how we did it all. I don't even know.
It's hard to look back and figure it out.
Yeah.
My next question was, what will this data do for water protection efforts and what can we learn from it?
We should be able to come up with a more refined monitoring approach to figure out how much septic effluent might be in a lake. Can we correlate to what's happening on land with people's septic tanks and what kind of behaviors or how often they maintain it? We should be able to figure out if there are any geographic areas, like a certain area of older homes or maybe a bay or an area near a tributary that might have more problems than others. That might help us focus our education efforts or future resources on those areas. And I think it will also provide the average homeowner that has signed up for us to take data on their property to figure out how much are they actually impacting the lake. If we can find anything at all, I mean, most people I think that we surveyed, they weren't, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. And so with that data being found out then, how can other people learn more about the septic systems? How can they get in touch with their local lake associations and be able to work together?
So the Watershed Council published a brochure for homeowners, and so that is on our website and in our office. And so it's a guide for properly maintaining your septic system. And then the state of Michigan recently got, I think, $34 million to help people repair or maybe even replace their septic systems. I think that the state is still working out how to divvy up that money, but what I have looked into so far is you will have to have an inspection from a septic caller to show if there are any issues, and then you can use that to get a loan to help you make corrections.
Great. Thank you so much, Caroline. Appreciate all your knowledge about the septic system and all the help that you've done for Lake Charlevoix and hopefully future lakes that can take this and be able to use it for them as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for joining us for the Watersheds at Work podcast. Be sure to check out our next episode on June 1st, where we will be going over the policy side of septic systems with our policy director, Jennifer McKay. This episode will be about all the different ways that policy and local ordinances matter on what happens with your septic and how it might affect your environment or your community. It will also discuss the ways you can help make changes in policy to better the current regulations that we have. If you're interested in more ways to get involved, we have plenty of volunteer opportunities coming up in May, like stream monitoring, where you can help us collect data for reporting the health of our streams through Northwest Michigan. It's a fun way to get out and explore as well as learn something new. We'll also have our mobile boat washing event coming up every week during the summer starting June 3rd. During these, we will be washing boats at local launches and informing the public on ways to help stop the spread of aquatic invasive species to keep our lakes pristine. We are always looking for help, so give us a call or stop by if you're interested. To register or get more info, go to the events tab on our website. And if you're looking for more ways to get involved with us, check out our social media pages, become a volunteer, or make a donation to help keep our waters clean. And if you have any questions, please feel free to send us an email at info@watershedcouncil.org.